Australian Bible Church. This morning, July the 5th, 2015, the church which emphasizes Christ without qualification. If you want to make it up, go and foozle about in your own philosophy. Christ without qualification, let's be honest. The Bible without compromise. Let's be factual. Let's deal with things as they are. Like science, look at the facts. Get the data. Apply them. Get on with it. The millennium this morning. Yes, that little heralding I just did was needful because, apart from anything else, the millennium is just precisely one of those topics which is frequently, to use Shakespearean terms, scarfed up, suppressed, removed, or mentioned indecisively as a sort of optional extra, like a flap at the back of your hat when playing tennis. The millennium. There are a few cases I would just mention where the millennium is mentioned in the Bible. It would make quite a nice course to go over all of those separately, but let me mention them. They include Deuteronomy 32, Joel 3, Isaiah 2, 9, 65, 32, Jeremiah 23, Micah 4, Psalm 45, 2, 110, and especially Psalm 72. Revelation 20, where it specifies the millennium as occurring in a sequence which is specifically stated. Micah 7, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, which refers to the Lord coming with all the saints, and Zechariah 14. That's a few of them. I plan to look at just a couple. Let's look at Isaiah 2 and 65. First gives the entry to warfare, such as so significantly mistreated by many in Isaiah 66. But let's look at this one in Isaiah 2, 8. The land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, the way some in science do these days. That which their own fingers have made. Not that they made the heavens, but they make, in many cases, a philosophical mess with their presuppositions. People bow down and each man humbles himself. Yes, before the things made, but not before the maker of the things and themselves. Therefore do not forgive them. Enter into the rock. Oh, some more dynamics, if you want them, appearing in a natural form, but not so naturalistically. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust. Oh, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. It was apparent, and now it's becoming more personal. The lofty looks of men shall be humbled. Lofty looks. What a historical topic that would be. From Mao to Stalin to Putin to many to Hitler. They know the answers. They know where the power lies. They are people of understanding. And death. And eventually their own. The lofty looks of men shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. And then in verse 17, the loftiness of men shall be bowed down. And the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Verse 19, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and the caves of the earth. Go into the clefts of the rock, verse 21, rocks, and into the crags of the rugged rocks. from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Save yourselves from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For what account is he? Get where the action is. Then we could look perhaps at Isaiah 65. Following this, we have a situation. Verse 17, for I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. So that's the end of the matter. But here, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall be no longer heard in her, nor the voice of crying, as the Lord says almost innumerable times. He dealt with them for their iniquities, sent them for their blessing, put them into many lands, and brings them back that he may use them, converted as a testimony. A Christian testimony, for they shall come back to the Lord as well as their land. Some people seem to find it hard to put one and one together and make two, but it is continuously so spoken. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, you see. A transformation. An innovation, a dismissal of the deadly dynamics on the surface of the earth in a way characterizable. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. It's not heaven. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall build vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build in another and inhabit. That's very different, isn't it? Adam may not only inhabit these days, but bomb up with the rockets. They shall not plant and another eat, for the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bring forth children for trouble. But they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. So that gives you some of the picture. Let's look at Revelation 20 to see it all spelled out in very simple directive terms. So return to Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones and sat on them, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus Christ and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image. Notice two things. They were those who had been beheaded, or also for those who had not perceived on their foreheads, on their mentality, on their cultural understanding, on their actions, who had not received a deadly thing worse than any virus, the mark of the beast, and who had not worshipped the beast. I find to my appalled horror that some of those with whom I went to school, a great private school, were so invested by the viral culture of irrational thought concerning where we came from, as if it was from nothing, that they have no faith left in Christ. The world comes by an oddment of thought of someone who isn't there. It is so ludicrous. And salvation doesn't need to come at all. Morals are what you make them. But when you come to get sick, health is not whatever pills you seek to take. And a pill is a substitute for health. But there is no substitute for what you are. There's no use feeding fodder to a car as if it were a cow. You've got to know where you are, what you are, where you've come from, and why, and what you need. Anyhow, it says here, those have not received these marks, these cultural invasions of confused mortality. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were passed. So it's not difficult to read. I always remember the case of the virgin birth. I think it was a case where a young man was being considered for investment with the ministry. And apparently he denied the virgin birth. It only appears once, was the protestation. And somebody else said, young man, how many times does the Lord have to speak before you will listen? But this, as you see, is not mentioned once, nor is that for that matter. But we've read a whole list of its mentions, explicit, adventitious, and consequential. It becomes interesting to ask ourselves a few questions, that we might understand this so often suppressed, or ignored, or downplayed item. The millennium. Why is such a period so stressed? It is. Let's get that clear. Well, let's have a look at Psalm 2, which will give us some idea of its importance. It is an exhibition of the strength and might and majesty and rule. You feel like saying, not rural Britannia, but rural Messiania of God, in a place where some had almost come to wander because they grew blind to the present powers of the Lord. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord. They're doing it now. In theological murder. They did it then in physiological murder. Against the Lord and against his anointed, or Messiah, translation, saying, let's break their bonds in pieces. Cast away their cords from us. Let's say, men into women and children into adults. And money into an endless supply. You have a great time before you do with Greece, for example. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold him in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. That is, as Paul points out, begotten from the dead. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Notice nations. Israel is restored, but all will be subdued. And the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. This is the Son of God of whom it is spoken. This is the Messiah to whom the words are directed. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges. Those who define cultural mandates. Be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Fear of fire. Fear of financial fire to dogged, self-indulgent, careless spending. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son lest he be angry. And you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed all those who put their trust in him. There you see a contest is acknowledged. Freedom has been given its full face, selfie. and used and abused. In a way that if you did it to a car, it long since have become an item for a car yard of disaster. And so, there's a vindication of Christ is part of the reason for the millennium. There's a vindication of the call of Israel, like a carrier pigeon, to bear the knowledge of God to a disturbed and flood-ravaged world. And Micah presents these things with an enormous vigor. Chapter 7 of Micah. This gives you a lot of depth to the reason for a millennium. It speaks in 7:3 of Micah of princes asking for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme. Sound a bit like much politics? So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. And so then it speaks of a time of immorality of which Christ spoke. Iniquity shall abound. And then we hear a voice preceding the restoration of moral fiber, vigor, force, and manifestation to a changed world which will appear in the millennium. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until there are five letters which seem to be routinely forgotten by millions. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me forth to the light, says this voice of evangelical faith. I will see his righteousness, then she who is my enemy will see. Then he goes on, 7:11, to the day when your walls are to be built, in that day the decree shall go far and wide. And it goes on to speak of the enormous warfare. By the way, today is the day in which the walls are being built. Famous, fabulous walls in the area of Jerusalem surrounding a part of what is Israel in its restoration. That's now, that's foretold. Then it goes on, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. This is of the scale of the Exodus from the Pharaohs. The nation shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand to their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes in the earth. Shall they be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you? So it brings in the millennium, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He doesn't stay angry forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us. There is a future for the Jew as well as for the Gentile. In the case of the Jew, it is a future not only out of the dominion of unbelief, but out of the dominion of many races who have enjoyed pogroms, thefts, like Louis XIV, with his taxation procedures and splendors, inquisitions, even in Australia, attacks on commerce, in terms of the defense by Israel at the most minimal level compared with the bombings of Cologne and Dresden, of its very existence from those who want to practice genocide and are disgusted with the nations which don't help them. How are they getting their reward? You will cast all our sins in the depth of the sea, a preferable result to resisting the Lord and trying to recreate him by philosophies. Why is such a period as the millennium so stressed? It vindicates many of the indications concerning morals, many of the profanations of the name of the Lord, many of the definitions of people like Israel, who happened to be an appointed messenger of the Lord, though they failed him. If you look at Isaiah 51, you see that the Lord does not appreciate people behaving as the world were theirs and they were the judges of all the earth? So it says in Isaiah 51:21. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. Thus says your God, your Lord, the Lord and your God who pleads the cause, God's very forgiving, of his people. See, his people who are the ones of whom he speaks, and you can see who they are by what he says of them. Who pleads the cause of his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling. From an Israeli point of view, that was put in their hands by many of the Gentile peoples. The dregs of the cup of my fury, you shall no longer drink it. But I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down. Yeah? The Muslim voice of many. The self-exalting voice of many others. Lie down that we may walk over you. You know, nice and soft under the feet. And you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over. The millennium shows something different. If you look at Micah 4, or Isaiah 2 for that matter, but they are very similar. As it come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his paths. By that stage, of course, as in Zechariah 12, Israel has become converted and they become part of the Christian church. But the positive character is not deleted by the fact that they all come to one Lord. You see that stressed in Revelation 7 and 14. And so this is a vindication of the call of Israel. It's a vindication of the injustice. Certainly Israel left its safety. Certainly it killed its Lord. But does that mean that grabbing Gentiles have the right to be God? I have not seen it. I've seen the wrong to be God, which they seem to have taken to the hands of many. Let us hope Australia does not go on that fantastically mesmeric course. Again, it's shown that victory, such as they had in the Exodus, will come in the day of the Messiah. Patience has allowed freedom to express itself and to find its results and to be ready for judgment. Oh yes, this is a testing age. Don't imagine there are no examinations and no judgments. So victory here is seen upon the earth before it is culminated in heaven in judgment. It's also to show the functionality of righteousness. Look at that beautiful Psalm 72, which itemizes the character of the millennium so magnificently. Psalm 72. This goes really with Psalm 45, speaking of the Godhead of the Lord when he came as a Savior. Speaking to the Savior as God and as being sent by God, that's of course part of the Trinity. Give the King your judgment, says Psalm 72, O God, and your righteousness to the King's Son. He will judge your people with righteousness. Don't be like flippant youth which ignores the exams on the sports arenas. The mountains will bring peace to the people, the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces your oppressor, they shall fear you. As long as the sun and moon endure, this is not just a phase, but an eternal feature. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before morning, like showers. The rest of it, that water the earth in his days, the righteous shall flourish. Abundance of peace until the moon is no more. And he shall live. A statement which in terms of Psalm 22 indicates the resurrection. So the resurrected Lord shows the victory made manifest. Tests are not forever. The testimony will make itself manifest even more in the end. Victory will become most manifest, and the anger of the Lord most clear when the test day comes. Look at Isaiah 66. He says that I will extend, verse 12, peace to her like a river. They're speaking of Zion coming to a place too small for her. The kingdom of heaven is not too small for anybody, yet there is room. But Zion is a current concept. They shall come. Zion will be too small for her. So what? So I will extend peace to her like a river. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. We're dealing here with one of the last spewings of sand into the Meccano of the Messiah. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury. So the commencement, so the character, so the reasons for the millennium. The beauty of equity, of justice, of mercy, of kindness, of thoughtfulness, of redemption, all brought into one glorious composition. Truth will be vindicated. Righteousness will be indicated. But for how long will this be? Millennium concept is of 1,000 years. Now in 2 Peter 3:9, we learn that when it's a question of the Lord's love, of his mercy, of his patience, of his gospel, of how long he'll go after the fleeing people, how long he will endure it, how long he will put aside anger, how long his tender mercies will come upon the earth. The clouds of beauty and magnificence of grace, how long? Well, in that case, his patience is almost inconceivable. A day is as 1,000 years. So you see, in those terms, we're in our second day, 2,000 years. Patience! Oh, yes. Well, then, how long is the millennium? Well, when you look at, of course, that is precisely that patience, isn't it? I mean, it precedes the final judgment. Revelation 11 uses a certain arithmetical mantle. I won't go into it. It's 12, 60 days, 42 months. It's a symbolic thing. But it was used in Daniel 9 in indicating very unsymbolically the death date of Christ, who kept it precisely. In Revelation, this arithmetical number, whether expressed in days or months, is used in chapter 11 to refer to the whole age. 2,000 years so far. But in Revelation 13, verses 4 to 5, it is used to express a culminating period of agonizing and almost unworkable brilliance of horror on the part of the concluding forces of an utterly evil, world-wasting rule. So obviously the meaning is symbolic in Revelation. So how long is it? Well, the answer is terribly simple. Long enough. Long enough. I always remember two commentators. In one sense, I am a businessman. What will you pay me if I give you this information? And do you have enough money? He said, I have enough. So this period will be enough, long enough to manifest all its vindicating qualities and all its manifesting mercies and marks. What does it show? One of the things that it shows is found in Isaiah 26:10, which I suggest we look up quickly. Isaiah 26, verse 10. This answers a number of sociological questions. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness? Yeah, give him everything he could possibly wish. Give him equity. Give him justice. Give him mercy. Give him kindness. Give him indulgence. Give him anything. Anything. Let grace be shown to the wicked. Give him free everything. Congratulate him on his culture while you support his needs. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. Character enters in. Preference enters in. Clever Bugs Bunny enters in. All sorts of marvelous cleverness enter in. And what is said of the wicked? In the land of uprightness he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when your hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they will see and be ashamed for their envy of the people. Yes, the fire of your enemies shall devour them. Exalting people's psyches, filling their stomachs, making them congratulate themselves, tut-tutting vile sexual oppression, talking of the difficulty, which former people didn't seem to have quite so much because they had more required of them, of poor young people ruined by ice and other fiery or frigid things. Money and psychic twiddling and cultural exaltation, whether for people of any skin color or sin color. It includes all. Give them everything. And if you don't have the Lord in it, in some cases, my culture doesn't permit me to listen. How unfortunate. How unfortunate. You can't see the great physician because of preconceptions and prejudices, in some cases foisted upon you lest you should hear the gospel. We learn the folly of such things. Forget governments. People choose them from whatever source. That's one of the things that we learn. One of the other things we learn is it doesn't matter, and we close with this, it doesn't matter how relatively kind in many ways, how relatively orderly in many more ways, how relatively just in constitutional form, how magnificently mighty in worldwide rule. Nothing will ever work in this world except the saving knowledge of its Creator, its Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ. Even the great British Empire. Protestant, correct. Biblical in format. Yes, you hand the sovereign this book in which contains the great wisdom. Even the great British Empire. Of course it had its faults. It wasn't all Christian, but formally speaking, it wasn't much mirrored. Even it could not achieve a world that lasted. Ezekiel 21:27 tells us, overturn! Overturn! Nothing is going to last, nothing is going to rule until the one who's due for it, the Creator Redeemer, comes. Zephaniah 3:5 tells us concerning him. He, get this, never, get that, fails, and especially, get that, Jesus Christ has never had any of the spume and spittle of moralizing cultural magnates spoil him at all. There is no fault to be found in him. Pilate was right in that. He is the one who must pilot you and me if there is to be reality, factuality, accuracy, faith in what works, faith in what has done the works, both of salvation and redemption, both of creation and of providing. My Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for Jesus Christ. We thank you that it is so, and he has told us, and we do know, and we have found, and we are privileged to live in such faith directed to such a Savior, and to be able to tell others of him, to point out to yet others, beware of cultural mandates which exclude Christ for no reason at all, which want to call marriage something which is not productive of children, as if definitional purity and simplicity were to be out, meanings were to be changed, and methods which are not productive, what happens to be our race? Or does that matter now? But turned aside. That's merely symbolic. Facts! Where even generation to generation do we come from? Definitions! What does the job? What's built in? We just start calling castles, tents, or tents castles? Are we to call scalpels bombs, or bomb scalpels? Are words to have no meaning that is sustainable? Because things are natural, not according to nature. I preferred. Because God has given a death notice, and he's already died in love, and many prefer not to notice. So Lord, we praise thee for thy mercy. In Jesus' name.